Last year, if I'm not mistaken, in this group, I have to remember where I am in each at each group, we talked about the significance of Devorah's response that if she attends the battle, biyad isha yimkor Hashem et Sisra, that God would hand Sisra over to the hands of a woman, and we suggested that what she's actually referring to is a machlokas, whether she's referring to Yael or herself. Malbim says he's referring to Yael. Radak says he's referring to herself. She's referring to herself. Referring to Yael would sound to me like she's simply saying, Yael will get the victory, not you. We'll talk about the role of Yael another time. But if she's talking about herself, on the face of it, it sounds very self-aggrandizing and self-serving. So what we had suggested was that her reference to her role and why her attending the battle would be significant in this way is that she attends the battle as a Navi. And it's Dafkin, her capacity as the Navi, that would transform the battle from the battle of the general fought in natural context and then attributed to God's support and power, just as we had by Othniel ben Knaz and Ehud ben Gera and all the previous iterations of the Shoftim. Her attending as a Navi would elevate the direct engagement of God, direct role of God, in some kind of fashion of divine intervention or miraculous role, because that's what the Navi does. Navi carries with her or him, as we use the analogy, the staff of Moshe. Yeah. When you carry the staff into battle, you may guarantee a more direct divine engagement, but you detract from the role of the warriors, you detract from the role of the political and military leadership, you certainly detract from the role of Barak as the general or as the shofet. And that's essentially what she says. If I go with you, then biyad isha, then I will get the credit as the Navi. Vatashra Dvora, she'll get the credit as the Navi, not the shofet. And what we had suggested was that there's a price to pay there. And Barak's response is, afo pichen, even though there's a price to pay, I'm willing to pay it, that's what I want. We didn't really go into much detail as to what this price would be. And so what I thought I would do today is a little ambitious, especially for 50 minutes, but we're going to try, and that is to look at two things. Number one, the price in broad global Tanakh terms. What is the significance of the miraculous intervention of God on the battlefield? One piece of it. And the second piece that I want to look at today is, in fact, how does this manifest itself? What happened on the battlefield that changed because of Devorah's attending and Devorah's role? So those are the two issues. And so we're going to start actually with a source. Let's pass those down. This is a medrash which we may have read before. We may have seen in the context of a Shabbos afternoon shiur or a shiur on Purim. I have referred to this medrash often as one of my favorite midrashim. Certainly most powerful and impactful. I think it's a comment that speaks volumes about Chazal's whole philosophy and perspective on history. The context of this medrash is Eicha Rabbah. It's the introduction to Megillat Eicha, to the medrash on Megillat Eicha, which already tells me, before I even look at the text, I want to make sure I can see everybody. That there's a context here which is somehow related to Eicha. What's Eicha? The Churban, right? The destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So something about this, whatever the context is, this is the introduction to Eicha, is something related to how we got to where we got to, how the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash came about, whatever the process was. And the Medrash there states the following. Arba'a melachim hayu. Ma shetava ze lo tava ze. There were four kings in the history of the Israelite kingdom. We'll start with David HaMelech and we'll end with Hizkiyahu. Four kings, each one sought a different request. Meaning, as we'll see as it progresses, the requests and the nature of the requests change progressively as we go along the list and change for the better or for the worse. I'm assuming, since we're talking about Echa Rabba, that we're talking about a change for the worse. What are those four kings? Elohein, David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu. David is David HaMelech. Asa and Yehoshaphat are two kings in the context of Sefer Melachim. We'll see quotes or pieces of their story momentarily. And the fourth, of course, is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Now, Chizkiyahu HaMelech is the last great warrior of the united of the Kingdom of Israel. Chizkiyahu maintains one of the largest empires since the days of David HaMelech. Great, Chizkiyahu is the one. actually, not Yoshiyahu. Chizkiyahu is the grandfather of Menashe. Right? Father Menashe. Father? So his grandfather. Right? Father or grandfather. Either way, Chizkiyahu, we are talking about 150 or approximately years from the destruction of the temple. So the Gemara says the following. What was the characteristic of each of these kings, and what did they request that brought us from David HaMelech to Chizkiyahu? Says the Medrash. David Amar, Erdof Oivai Va'asigem. David said, the Pasuk in Tehillim, which is part of Shirat David, I will chase my enemies and I will overtake them. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Oseh. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to David, so be it. Ve'eru Dichtiv, Vayakim David Me'aneshev Yad Erev Lemocharatam. And therefore it says, David smote them from evening until the evening thereafter, the day after. Meaning, the context here is the battle of David against Amalek, against the verse referring to David who went chasing after the armies of Amalek and engaged them in a 24-hour battle that totally obliterated whatever remnant of Amalek was left after the failure of Shaul. And to David in his Shira, Shirat David, talks about his victory against his enemies. Now, we don't have time to go through the whole Shira. I won't go through it here with you. The Shira begins. This is the Shira that David sang on the day that God helped him be victorious against his enemies. Don't bother. I'm just going to read the opening pasuk.
לדוד אשר דיבר להשם את דברי השירה הזאת ביום מציל השם אותו מכף כל איביו ומיד שאול.
The day that God gave him victory over his enemies and over Shaul, David sang this song. And if you read it through, we read it as a Haftorah once a year, you'll see that half of the Shira talks about his accomplishments on the battlefield and half the Shira talks about how he attributes all of this to God. The characteristic of David HaMelech, Erdof oivai va'asigem, I will chase my enemies and I will capture them, and I will smite them. Vayakem David me'aneshev v'yad ha'erev. What role is there for God to play in that battle?
Allow him to succeed.
Allow him to succeed. What we would call in the vernacular,
to bless us.
Siyata d'shmaya, blessing. With God's help, Mirtz Hashem, from speech, as they refer to. From speech.
Inshallah.
So says David HaMelech. Now, Amad Asa Ve'amad. Asa came along a couple of generations later, And he made the following declaration. Ani ein bi koch laharog lehem. God, I don't have the strength to kill, to execute. So I'll make you a deal, says the Medrash. Ela ani rodef otam. I'll chase my enemies. Ve'ata oseh. And you take them out. That's the deal. I'll chase. You take them out. Amar lo, ani oseh. So God said, if that's the way you want it, so be it. As it says, Vayirdefem asa ve'am asher imo, asa and his people with him chased his enemies. And then the verse says, ki nishberu lifne Hashem lifne machaneo, that the army of the enemy was broken before God and before his army. The verse emphasizing that the last phrase was lifne Hashem, lifne asa en ktiv, lifne Hashem lifne machaneo. The pasuk doesn't say they were broken before asa, it says they broke before God. And there's a certain nuance there we will see in a moment. Amad Yehoshaphat ve'ama. Yehoshaphat then stood up and said, Yehoshaphat is the next couple of generations later, the next major king of Israel. Ani ein bikoch. God, I don't have the strength. Lo laharog ve'lo lirdof. Neither to kill nor to chase. So I'll make you the following deal. Al ani omer shira. I'll sing Shira to you, and you deal with them. As it says, now, in parentheses, I've included a verse which is not in the original Medrash. Mm. I've included it here only because it helps understand context. I'm actually going to take you to these four stories in a moment. So we're going to see them, each one inside in the Tanakh. But the verse in Divrei Hayomim reads, Elokeinu halo tishpot bam. You should judge them. Ki ein banu koach lifnei ha'amon harav hazeh. We don't have the strength before this great multitude. That's the phrase that Yehoshaphat himself says in his tefillah, and therefore the assumption in the Medrash is that that phrase ein bikoach is applied to all of them. Back to where there's no vowels. Where there's no vowels is the Medrash. Where there's psukim with vowels, with the vowels is a copy from the Tanakh. I'm sure you've picked that up by now. In the way I've done these sources for years. Amala Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aniasa, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if that's the way you want it, so be it. As it says, as Yehoshaphat began his song and his praise to God, Natan Hashem me'orvim abne Amon Moab, v'yinagefu, God ambushed the peoples of Amon and Moab and destroyed them. Amad Chizkiyah. Now the story of Chizkiyah is a very famous story. Sancheirah's army is sitting on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. We read it as the Haftarah of the four Mitzorayim. Chizkiyah and his people are in Yerushalayim. Sancheirah is already exiled the northern kingdom, and he is sitting on the bank on the edge of Yerushalayim. A malach goes out in the middle of the night, wipes out the entire hundreds of thousands of soldiers of Assyria. They all die in the middle of the night, and Israel is spared. Very famous story. Yeshayahu talks about it. It's brought down in Sefer Malachi. Amar Chizkiyahu v'amar. Chizkiyahu then said, Ani ein bikoch, lo laharog, v'lo lirdof, v'lo lemar shira. God, I don't have the strength for any of this. I don't have the strength to chase like David and Melech, and I don't have the strength to kill, and I don't have the strength even to sing shira. So here's the deal. El ani yashen mitati. I'm going to go to sleep. V'atalse, and you, God, deal with it.
Great, this is
good
for us.
Amala Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Aniyase, if that's the way you want it, fine. As it says, Vahi balayla hahu, on that night, Vayetze malach Hashem, a malach of God went out, Vayach b'machane Ashur, smote the army of Assyria, 185,000 soldiers, in the morning they got up and all the soldiers were dead. 185,000 taken out. What a miracle. A miracle the likes of which we haven't seen since the days of Makat Bechorot. A miracle that can only be compared in its magnitude and numbers to Makat Bechorot. 100 years from there, we are into the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the end of the kingdom of Israel. So you have to ask yourself, from the perspective of what does God want from us? What's better? What's the ideal? The intuitive assumption is the greater God's involvement, the higher our madrega. You know, to talk in frum speech, modern frum speech, right? The greater this divine intervention, the greater this, the more there's God directly involved in our lives, clearly we're on a higher madrega, if I were to talk in modern terminology. In the world of Tanakh, it's the other way around. In the world of Tanakh, it's the other way around. The greater involvement God has directly, the greater the need, because the lower the engagement of Israel is, and therefore the lower the expectations. The paradigm that the Torah sets out, and I'm going to run you through a couple of places in Tanakh today, so bear with me. The paradigm that the Torah sets out, the last words that Moshe speaks to Bnei Israel, the last words that Moshe speaks to Bnei Israel. Take a look at the end of Devarim. End of Perek Lamed Gimel. The last pasuk of Perek Lamed Gimel is the last pasuk of the bracha of Vezot Bracha. Mm-hmm. Perek Lamed Dalet already Vayal Moshe. Moshe goes up the mountain. So this is the last thing Moshe says to Bnei Israel. Ashrecha Yisrael. Happy are you, O Israel. Micha Mocha. Who is like you, O Israel? Am Nosha B'Hashem. A nation. Nosha B'Hashem. Nasha? What does the word Nasha mean?
Yeshua.
Comes from the word?
Yeshua.
Yeshua means?
Saved.
But you have to be careful about the word saved, because it has been a word that has been perverted into a Christian context. Mm. The word in Tanakh is much more analogous to victorious. Anashem Hoshia. Now, there's no such thing as Christian theology turned the concept of Yeshua into personal salvation. There's no such thing. Right? The word Yeshua in Tanakh means national victory. So one has to be careful about the terminology. That's why I never like to translate the word Yeshua as save us or be saved or was saved or Nasha B'Hashem, saved by God. Not in the context of Christian theology. The context of victory. Mm-hmm. Victorious. By virtue of God. Magen Ezrecha. Who is the
shield
of your help. Va'asher Cherev Ga'avatecha.
Translate. I'm just going to bring the board over because I need the board for the next
week. Sword of your
pride or honor.
What does that
Cherev Gavatecha mean? Cherev Gava could be.
What is Gava?
Your honor, your pride.
Pride.
Cherev Gavatecha, your pride. Cherev Gavatecha. Your pride is in your
sword.
Veikachashua vechalach, and therefore your enemies shall fall before you, v'atal b'matenu tidroch, and you shall trounce upon your enemies, upon their high places. Nosha b'Hashem, magen ezrecha, v'ashecher gavatecha. Notice the phrases? And then ashecher gavatecha. What's interesting about those three phrases? Nosha b'Hashem, Magen Ezrecha Vashecherev Gavatecha. Correct. Melech, but all we're missing is the word Melech. Melech, Ozer, Umashiach, Umagen. You see the four?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the Melech come from? Also in this perek. Vahi Bishurun. Vahi Bishurun Melech Vihit Aseh Roshay Am. So of course this, in this context, in this pasuk, the word Melech Ozer Moshiach Umagen is referring to Hashem, right? But the context here is that the sword belongs to
people.
The sword belongs to Israel. God's role in helping us win our battles is our source of pride. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So why is this significant? Because now I'm going to show you the four paragraphs that this medrash is built on. The four paragraphs specifically of each of these four kings. Now, David HaMelech is too long and complicated for us to deal with in text, so we're going to work David HaMelech's last, but David HaMelech's the easiest.
Because he David does everything.
Because with David, it's very easy for him to make the following assertion. In the life of David HaMelech, there was not one recorded incident of supernatural divine intervention. Fact. In the life of David HaMelech, in all his battles, in all his victories, in the entire story of David, there is not one recorded incident of supernatural divine intervention.
He just goes out and wins all his battles. Huh?
Goes out and wins all his battles. The closest you get is Goliath. And there's no miracles there. There's a slingshot. That's the closest we get because the odds are the weirdest. There's no recorded incident of any kind of divine, direct divine intervention in any of David's battles. So David, who's David HaMelech, I'm going to leave that for a minute. We're going to work our way backwards. We're going to work our way backwards, because the Medrash works backwards. The Medrash, David Asa Yoshafat Chizkiyahu.
David. Asa. Yehoshafat. Chizkiyahu. Those are my four. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work our way backwards. Start with Malachim Bet, Perek Yutet. Starting with Pasuk Lamed Bet. Lachain, this is part of Yeshayahu's Nevuah. Yeshayahu's Nevuah starts in Pasuk Chaf. Yishlach Yeshayahu ben Amatz al Chizkiyahu Lemor. And then we get to Pasuk Lamed Bet. Lachain, Koma Hashem el Melech Ashur lo yavo el ha'ir hazot v'lo yareshem chetz. As far as the king of Ashur goes, he will not get to the city. He will not shoot an arrow. V'lo yikadmenu magen. No shield will reach here. V'lo yishpoch alea solala. He won't, no roads, no derech. Baderech asher yavo bayashuv. Whatever road he took to come, that's the road he shall return. Be'ala ir azot le'avonu mashem. To this city he will not come. V'ganoti ala ir azot lehoshia. I will save this city. L'ma'ani u'l'man David avdi. For my sake, and for the sake of David, my servant. Which is a very ironic statement, because for whose sake is the city not being saved?
Chizkiyahu.
Which is somewhat ironic. V'ayi b'alaylahu, v'yetze malach Hashem, v'yach b'machane Ashur, 185 elef, v'yashkimu b'boke, v'nei kolam b'garim mitim. That's the pasuk, that's the, that we just saw, in the middle of the night, went out, and everyone was destroyed. What's interesting about this pasuk is, what role does Hizkiyahu play?
Nothing.
Zero.
He's sleeping.
In the Medrash, it's described as he's sleeping.
Sleeping on the
Chazal
job.
Are critical of David, of Hizkiyahu for not singing Shira after the battle.
Mm-hmm.
In the Medrash, it's not a function of him not singing Shira after the battle. It's a function of him not being entitled to sing Shira after the battle. Because the Medrash says he doesn't even sing Shira. Eini koach. I'm going to bed. In Yeshayahu, the description is Lech ami bo b'chaderecha uskod latecha ba'adecha. Go, my people, go into your rooms, close the door behind you. Chaviki matrega, go hide yourselves momentarily. Ad yavor zam, until the anger passes by. They were literally hiding in their homes, says Yeshayahu, until the malach went out. Vayetzei malach Hashem, in the middle of the night, the malach went out and smote the Assyrians. To which paradigm or what previous event does this event sound like? B'nai Yisrael huddled in their homes, not entitled to leave, while the malach Hashem goes out to smite the enemy.
Well, thought Hashem
said Makat B'chorot. Right? Makat B'chorot.
Well, didn't Hashem himself do it, or did he send a malach to do it?
Huge debate. The malach, it says Vayetzei Malach Hashem. Vayhi b'layla hu Vayetzei Malach Hashem b'yach. Sorry. The
Malach Hashem b'yach b'machane
Hashem. Yeah, and then but the malach, but it talks about the mashchit, and it talks about the malach. So it doesn't matter whether Hashem himself or the malach. From this perspective, it's the same. It's not the debate that I want to get into right now. The Haggadah intentionally directs the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat of the pasuk is that the malach was out to do makat mechorot. I can't go into that right now, but that's not the issue. The issue is who's not engaged in the process, right? Neither the army nor the melech. That's the issue. Vatem lo tetzu ish mi petach beito ad boker. When it comes to in makat bechorot, we weren't entitled to leave the house. Which, in biblical terms, means we weren't entitled to watch. Hmm. Which may explain why we couldn't sing Shira. There's no Shira after Makat Mechorot. One of the great mysteries. After Kriyat Yamsuf, we sing Shira. After Makat Mechorot, there's no Shira. But the victory of Makat Mechorot was greater. Hmm. But the reason why there's no Shira is because we didn't see it.
It just happened.
Right, we're huddled in our homes. We're literally locked into our rooms. We can't see it, and therefore there's no Shira. That's very similar to what you have here, when you have this familiarity with Makat Bechorot, where everybody's in the house, in the bayit, or in the cheder, or in the mitah, in the language of the Medrash, and there is the Malach Hashem, the angel who goes out to smite the enemy. Take a look at in the bottom, in the Sifrei in the bottom, which is a reference to Makat Bechorot. Lina kam v'shilem, ani nifra mehem ba'atzmi, lo yedei malach, v'lo yedei shaliach, as we said in the Haggadah, kenyan sheneemar, ata lech v'eshlachacha el paro, ve'omer va'etzei malach Hashem v'yach v'machane Ashur. So the Medrash links Makat Bechorot and the story of the destruction of the Assyrian army directly. Now,
you said Chazal faulted him for not singing Shira, but it sounds like he can't sing.
Correct.
It, so what's the fault?
The fault is one step earlier. The fault is being at a point in context, which is we're not going to go into. The fault is being at a point where he's not entitled to participate and therefore not to sing Shira. Right. The fault isn't directly that he didn't sing Shira. The fault is one step earlier. But I'm going to skip that for now. Okay. From Chizkiyahu, we move back to the world of Yehoshaphat. Divrei Hayamim Bet. It's easier to see some of these things in Divrei Hayamim than in Malachim, so we're going to jump to Divrei Hayamim Bet. Perek Chaf. Chaf. 20. Just a reminder. What's going on in the world of Yehoshaphat, says the Medrash? I don't have the strength to chase my enemies or to kill my enemies. What am I going to do?
Shira.
I'll sing Shira. God, you take out my enemy. I will not do anything except sing Shira. What does that remind me of?
Yamsuf.
Kriyat Yamsuf.
Yeah.
Right? Kriyat Yamsuf. What does it say about Kriyat Yamsuf? It says, Ata imdu ru'et yeshuvat Hashem. Now stand and see the great salvation of God. Hashem yilachem lachem. God will fight this battle for you. Va'atem tacharishun, and you shall be silent. What's the role of Bnei Yisrael in Shirat Hayam?
To witness.
To observe.
And sing.
To sing Shira.
To sing
Shira. As Yishir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. And of course, to declare Vayaminu BaHashem uv Moshe Avdo, to declare their unbridled and undying trust in God, a trust which lasts a full 3 days. Pasuk Perek Chaf. Vayhi Achrechen Ba Bnei Amon Bnei Moav Bnei Amon V'Imahem MeHaAmonim Al Yehoshaphat LeMelchama. Great war begins between nations of Amon, Moab, and Yehoshaphat. What does Yehoshaphat do? Pasuk Gimel, Vayira v'yiten Yehoshaphat al panav l'drosh l'Hashem. Yehoshaphat is very fearful. He cries out to Hashem. He calls for a public day of fasting. Vayikatzom al kol Yehuda. Pasuk Dalet, Vayikavtzu Yehuda l'vakesh me'Hashem. Gam mikol arei Yehuda ba'u l'vakesh et Hashem. They seek God. They make a beautiful day of tefillah. They gather together. Ve'amod Yehoshaphat b'kal Yehuda v'yishlaim b'vet Hashem l'fnei ha'chatzer ha'chadasha. Yehoshaphat gathers together the people in Yerushalayim in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Chatzer, for tefillah. The army is amassing, and Yehoshaphat goes into the temple to pray. Because, of course, that's where the Melech belongs, when the army is amassing on the border, in the Beit HaMikdash. Correct?
No.
Thank you. I'm somebody. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer. And he said the following. Hashem Elokei Avoteinu. Halo Atahu Elokim in Hashemayim, V'atah Moshel B'chol Mamlechot Agoyim. God, you are in the heavens. You reign over all of the nations. U'v'yadcha Koach U'gvura. You have the strength and the might. V'en Imcha Lihitasev. There's nobody who can stand against you. Halo Atah Elokeinu Harashtut Yoshvei Haaretz Hazot M'lifnei Amcha Yisrael. You gave us this people, this land. You allowed us, you, to conquer it, to be victorious. Vatitna lezera Avraham o'avcha le'olam, you gave it to the seed of Avraham for eternity. Vayashvuva va'ivnu lecha b'mikdash l'shimcha memor, they dwelt therein, they built a mikdash for your great name. Im tavo aleinu ra'ah, and now if this great calamity befalls us, cherev, shvot, v'deve, v'ra'av, if all of these things befall us, calamity, sword, pestilence. What do? Na'am dalif ne'abayit hazeh lefenecha kishimcha b'abayit hazeh. We come before you in this temple. We stand before you in this temple. We pray. We say Tehillim. V'nizak alecha mitzorotenu. We cry out to you from our angst. V'tishma v'toshia, and you save us. Okay, God, I got the deal. So here's the story. Ata hinei bnei amon umo v'hasa'ir shalon atata l'Yisrael avo behem bevo'am be'erith Mitzrayim. Here is a constellation of the alliance, the axis of evil. Amon, Moav, and Edom, Seir. Here is your biblical axis of evil. And we were very kind to them. When we left Egypt, these were the three nations we weren't allowed to engage in battle. And behold, they, with their camels, have come upon us to chase us away from this land which you have given us. Pasuk Yudbet, Elokeinu, halo tishpot bam, judge them. Ki ein banu koach lifnei ha'amon harav hazeh, haba aleinu. We don't have the strength against this great multitude that's coming against us. Va'anachnu lo neida ma na'aseh ki alecha einenu. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. You save us. Because we are helpless and hopeless. Correct. Correct. Okay. That's the tefillah. What was the response to the tefillah? Pasuk Gedalit. ויחזיאל בן זכריה בן בניה בן יעיאל בן מתניה הלוי בן בני אסף הייתה עליו רוח השם בתוך הקהל. Whoever this Navi is, his name is Yachaziel, he's the Navi, and he responds. Vayomer, Hakshivu kol Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim v'hamelech Yehoshafat. Everybody, listen up. Says the Navi, Herzachai. Koma Hashem lechem. Thus saith God to you. Atem al tiru ve'al tichatu mipnei ha'amon harav hazeh. Don't be afraid of this great multitude. Ki lo lachem ha'milchama, ki lo elokim. This battle is not yours. This battle is to God. Sound familiar? Hashem yilachem lachem ba'atem tachar yishun. Machar adu alahem inam olim ve'male atzitz. Behold, tomorrow you'll go down to them and they will be gone. They will be destroyed. Umtzatem otam b'sof ha'nachal p'nei midbar Yeruel. You'll find them at the end of the river. Lo lachem lehilachem bazot. You don't have to fight this battle. Hityatzvu imdu ureu et yeshuat Hashem imachem. Stand, see the great victory of God that will take place here. Hityatzvu ureu et yeshuat Hashem. And just to add one more piece to the analogy to create Yam Suf, look at Pasuk Chaf. What was the result after Kriyat Yamsuf? What did we accomplish with Kriyat Yamsuf? Ve'yaminu b'Hashem u'v'Moshe avdo. Look at Pasuk Chaf. Ve'yashkimu b'boka ve'yatzu l'midbar takor. They got up in the morning, they went out into the wilderness. U'v'tzitam amad Yoshafat. Ve'yom ha'shmu'uni Yehuda v'yishrei Yerushalayim. Ha'aminu b'Hashem alokechem v'te'amenu. Ha'aminu b'nevi'av. Ve'atzlichu. Ve'aminu b'Hashem. No battle, no fight, but they get to stand and sing Shira, Tfila. By the way, this I didn't point out before, but the key word by Chizkiyahu was that no shield would come into the city. The key word by Yehoshaphat is Imdu Ura'u et Yeshuat Hashem. You with me? You see where it's going? Mm-hmm. What's next? Asa. Perek, you just turn a few pages back to Yudalid. Starting with Pasuk Zion. Vayhi la'asa chayel nosei tzina varomach miyuda 300,000. Asa had an army. Alright, it's the first time we have an army. We didn't see an army by Yehoshaphat, we didn't see an army by Chizkiyahu, at least now we have an army. An army of 300,000 soldiers. From Amin Binyamin nosei magen v'da chakeshet 280 aleph and another 120,000 from Binyamin. Kitzer, Asa has an enormous army. Perek Yudalid Pasuk Zayin. Vayetze alehem zerach hakushi b'chayil elef alafim u'merkavot shlosh meot v'yavod mereisha. Zerach hakushi comes out to meet them with an army of elef alafim. I'm not sure what, if elef alafim is a million or whatever it is. A lot. Vayetze Asa lefanav v'yalchu milchama b'geit Fata lemeresha, pasuk yud, vayikra asa el Hashem elokav vayomar, Hashem, ein imcha la'azor ben rav le'en koch. God, it doesn't make a difference to you to assist. It makes a difference whether you assist a few or you assist many. Ozreinu Hashem elokein, help us, God. Ki alecha nish'anu, we rely on you. V'shimchat banu al ha'amon hazeh. We have come against this army of a million soldiers in your name. Hashem elokeinu, ata al yatzo imcha enosh. Let no man stop you. Vayigof Hashem et hakushim lifnei Asa v'lifnei Yehuda. God smote the Kushim before Asa and before Yehuda. Vayanusu hakushim and they ran. Vayirdefem Asa v'ha'am asher imo ad ligrar. Asa chased them. Vayipom mikushim le'en lehem mechia ki nishberu lifnei Hashem v'lifnei machaneu. They broke before God and before his camp. That was the drush that the pasuk, the nuance in the pasuk, that Asa chased him, but it says that they broke before God. Now take a look at the next pasuk, pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayaku et kol harim sivot grar ki haya pachad Hashem aleihem. Doesn't say, this to my mind is the bigger nuance, or the greater deal, which is that it doesn't say that they were afraid of Asa, it says they were afraid of Hashem. So Asa's got the army. Huge army. Although he is outnumbered. 200,000, 300,000 to a million. So he's outnumbered. And he's outgunned. Chariots. So he turns to God and he says, I'll go. I'll jump into this battle. But I need you to
finish it.
I need you to finish it. En imcha la'azor. You, it doesn't make a difference to God. You can help whether it's small or many. You have that capability. It doesn't matter. That's Asa. And the role there of the Melech is clearly to, right, we have an army who is going to engage the battle, but in the end, it's Pachad Hashem Aleihem. It's God's victory. Why is it God's victory?
Because he finished it.
So to which battle, paradigmatically, which battle represents the army of Israel, the general of the army, Israel engaged with the sword, but the victory attributed to God?
Amalek.
Amalek. Mm. Right? That's the staff of Moshe. In his head.
Would Yericho be the same?
We'll get to if time permits me, I'll talk about what happens next. And then, of course, the last battle, which is not in the Medrash, which is David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, as I said before, all of David's battles are engaged without divine intervention. In the paradigm, to follow the sequence, in the paradigm of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Makat Becharot, Yamsuf, Amalek, what's next? Am I missing? Moshe's fourth battle.
They go inside?
No, battle. Military battle. Military battle against his enemies without divine intervention.
Oh, Melech.
Sichon and Og.
Sichon and Og, right.
Which is the parallel to David and Melech. And that's really where Moshe asserts himself as the Melech. Vayi b'shirun Melech, it says, is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did I do all of this? Seems we have no time for anything else, but because I wanted you to see the pattern.
It's the reverse.
The pattern is the exact reversal of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yitzhak Mitzrayim took Bnei Yisrael from huddled in their homes while God took out their enemies in Makat Becharot to passive participation in Yam Suf, where we got to see and therefore entitled to Sing Shira. To active participation, although with God, divine intervention in the Battle of Amalek, to completely natural battle, with God saying to Moshe, don't worry, don't be afraid, I'll be with you, siyata dishmaya, be'ezras Hashem, from speech, go for it. In reverse, that paradigm is David HaMelech. And what the Medrash in the beginning of Eicha says, is that as we diminish our role and increase the demand for God's direct role, we are reversing the process and we are going in the other half of the arch from sunrise to sunset. The goal is to wean off the miracles. The goal is not to live under the miracles. The goal is not to live with the man falling every day. The goal is to go into Eretz Yisrael when the man will fall, when the man will stop. And that's Yehoshua. Yosefer Yehoshua is built on this same paradigm. Yosefer Miricha starts here. There are four, I'll just do schematically, I'm not going to do this in text. There are four major battles in Sefer Yehoshua, and they pattern this. Yericho, Ai, the battles of the south, and the battles of the north. And they diminish in terms of God's role in the battle.
And it doesn't, you know, the amount or the dedication and the belief in Hashem is not a factor here.
On the contrary. It's stronger here than it is here. Look at direct miraculous divine intervention like a drug.
Yeah.
It's great when it works. But the day after, the greatest moment of miraculous divine intervention in the history of the Jewish people was Mamre HaSinai. The day after was Chet HaEgel. That's the problem. That's precisely the problem of the Sarch. When Barak says to Devorah, come with me, he shifts us from here to here. And in the mindset of Devorah, we've taken a giant step backwards. We've done exactly this arch. And Barak says, that's okay. I can live with it. He can live with it. But she's not happy about it. Now, how do I know? So now, I have 15 minutes left to trace what happened in the battle, on the battlefield. What role does Devorah play on the battlefield that would match what I've just traced for you in this trajectory? Now, unfortunately, in Perek Dalet, we know very little of what actually transpires of this battle. Excuse me?
Same thing that Asa did with God. He'd come with me.
Yeah. Same type of. Now, in Perek Dalet, so now let's go back to Shoftim Perek Dalet. Starting with Pasuk Yud Bet. I'm skipping Yud Aleph. We'll do Yud Aleph another time. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayagidu leSisra ki ela Barak ben Avinoam Har Tavor. Sisra was told that Barak has come together with his forces at Har Tavor. Everybody with me? Vayazek Sisra at kol rikhbo sham yot recha bazel ve et kol ha'am asher ito mechosh dagoyim onachal kishon. Sisra gathered his army together, his 900 chariots, his army down at Nachal Kishon. So, geographically, Barak is on the hill of Har Tavor, and Sisra is walking through the Vadi below. Ever been to Har Tavor? Mm-hmm. Anybody been to Har Tavor? How big a mountain is it?
Well, it's not so high, but you have this look down.
Right. It's a vantage point. I would call it a hill, a big hill. It's not the Bashan, it's not the Golan Heights,
no.
It's not, you know, it's not a mountain. It's hard to call it a har.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking from the bottom of the Nachal, you got to look up to the top of the hill. Right?
You could see the valley. I tried to bring the picture that I took, but you couldn't do justice to it. It's not a mountain, but it does have like a kind of like a drop-off, so you kind of look over and down in the valley.
Correct. That's where Sisra. That's where Barak is, and where is Sisra?
Down the valley.
Vatomer Dvoral Barak. Dvorah says to Barak, Pasuk Yudalid. Listen to this pasuk carefully. Vatomer Dvoral Barak. Dvorah says to Barak, "Kum, get up. Because this day God will give Sisra into your hands." Hello, Hashem Yatzalafanecha. God is going out before you. I call that. Sounds like. What is she doing?
Just to prod him.
Why does she have to prod him? Here's Barak, he's on the top of the mountain. Sisra's down below in the valley with all of the army. Right? Can you see from the vantage point to the top of the mountain, Kathy? Can you see?
Yeah,
right? Do you need Devorah to tell Barak, go? Sisra's marching down below. Barak is on top of the hill. Devorah stands there and says, okay, Barak, ready? Get set? Go. Kum. Get up. Go.
Or is it because he's sleeping?
Why? Yeshem Yetzalavanecha. Because God is with you. Be'ezus Hashem. From speech. God is with you. Yibracha to you. Abracha on my kin.
From speech. Isn't that why he needed to have the world to begin with?
I don't know what role she plays here.
Well, Kum sounds to me like Hiskiyah when he says, Ani Hashem. He might be lower.
Is he sleeping? I don't know. Why is Barak sleeping? He's sitting on the top of the mountain. Why is Barak sleeping? He's sitting on the top of the mountain. Vayered Barak mehar Tavor vaserat arafim ish acharav. And indeed, Barak was running down Har Tavor together with his 10,000 soldiers. Vayahom Hashem et Sisra vet kol arechev et kol amachane lefichere lifnei Barak. And God confounded the army of Sisra, the chariots and the horses, and by the sword of Barak. What do I know about the battle? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the thing we have to remember about the story of Devorah is that the story is divided into two parts. The text of Perek Dalet and the song of Perek He. And what's fascinating is that unlike Shirat David, where you get a lot of inspiration but no history, Shirat Devorah is a lot of history. How much inspiration there is, we'll see. But there's a lot of history, meaning there's a lot of the story that we don't know until we read Perek He, and we have to complement the pieces and put them together. So let me take you into Perek He for a bit, and let's take a look at what's going on.
Specific.
First of all, when she says Hashem Yetzalafanecha, God is going out before you, so she could mean simply from speech, as we have seen before, right? God is with you. God says the bracha. She may, by virtue of the fact that she's a Navi, be referring to something else altogether. I've shown you my story in Malachim with Elisha and the army, the chariots of Aram. Did we have a look at that story? Elisha, remember Elisha? Elisha is Eliyahu's disciple. Elisha in Malachim Bet Perek Vav is the army of Aram is coming out to kill Elisha because Elisha is dangerous to the army of Aram. So he brings an entire army of horses and chariots and he surrounds the hill on which Elisha lives. So take a look at Malachim Bet Perek Vav. Pasuk Tet Vav. Vayashkem Misharet Isha Elokim Lakum. That morning, the Misharet, the servant of the Isha Elokim, the lad, the disciple. The Leviim always had disciples. Moshe had Yeshua. Eliyahu had Elisha. Elisha has Gehazi, disciples. Perek Vav, Malachim Bet, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tet Vav, 6:15. Vayashkem Misharet Isha Elokim Lakum Vayetzei Vinei Chayel Sove V'Tair V'Sus V'Rachav. Got up in the morning, went out to get the morning paper, and he found the hill surrounded by horses and chariots. Vayomer Na'aro Elav. So his lad said to Elisha, Aha, Adoni, Echana Aseh, woe, my master, what shall we do? Vayomer Altira, Elisha said to him, do not be afraid, Ki Rabim Asher Itanu Me Asher Otam, because we, you and I, because we outnumber them. to which, of course, the response should be, "Who's weak, Yimasabi?" Pasuk Yud Zayin, who's the we? Vayit palel Elisha vayomar. So Elisha begins to pray. Now, if you were Elisha, what would you pray for?
God save me.
God save me, right? That's not Elisha's prayer. Elisha's prayer is, vayomar, Hashem, pkachna et einav v'yir'eh. Open up the eyes of the lad that he may see. Vayifkach Hashem et einei hana'ar. God opened up the eyes of the lad, and he saw. V'ne ha'har male susim v'rechev esh svivot Elisha. And the mountain was in fact surrounded by horses and chariots made of fire, protecting Elisha. When you are the Navi, I told you not to mention him. When you are the Navi, you command an army of horses and chariots of fire. And they are not by number. You hear the difference? That's the power of the Navi. The Navi can see what the human eye cannot. So when Devorah says to Barak, Barak, kum, ki Hashem yetzal lefanecha. Get up and go, because God has gone out before you. It could mean, Be'ezras Hashem, you'll be okay. Or it could mean that Devorah sees what Barak doesn't. The question now is, what is Devorah seeing, and what is Barak seeing? So now if we look at the Shira in Perek He, Perek He, starting with Pasuk Dalet, Hashem b'tzedcha miseir, b'tzadcha misde Edom, Eretz ra'asha, gam shamayim natafu, gam avim natfu mayim. God, when you marched forth from Seir, when you marched from the fields of Edom, that phrase, by the way, reminds us of Hashem b'tzedcha miseir b'tzadcha miste Edom. Reminds us of Mitch, finish it. Hashem miseir ba. Yeah, finish the whole, what's the whole pasuk? Hashem. We're missing a phrase. Beginning of Zot HaBracha. Hashem misinai ba. Vizarach miseir lamo. Hofia mehar paran. Ve'ata mirvavot kodesh. Mimino ishtat lamo. God, when he came to Sinai, when he shone forth from Seir, when he appeared from the plains, from the mountains of Paran, when he came from the myriads of Kedesh, carrying the law in his hands. That's how Zot HaBracha begins in the description of Mamon HaSinai. The description of the Shekhinah as it arrives at HaSinai, we have an image of Mamon HaSinai, of the Shekhinah coming down from Shemayim. The way Moshe describes it is that the Shekhinah didn't come down from the heaven. The Shekhinah arrived at the mountain from four directions. That's why I said there was a phrase missing, because there's four phrases there. Hashem misinai ba, v'zarach misi'ir lamo, hofia mehad paran, v'atam minivavot kodesh. God, the Shekhinah is coming from all sides. North, south, east, and west. How does Devorah describe the arrival of the Shekhinah on the battlefield? Hashem b'tzedcha miseir b'tzadcha misteadom. In the same terminology that was used to describe Mamon HaSinai, God marched forth from Seir, marched out of the plains of Edom. Eretz ra'asha, shaking the ground. Shamayim natafu, the heavens dripped. Gam avim natumayim, and the clouds dripped their water, or their Natumayim, Natef is to drip. Harim nazlu mipnei Hashem. Sprinkle, that's a better word. Harim nazlu mipnei Hashem. Mountains flowed before God. Zeh Sinai mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is Sinai. So her reference to the imagery of Sinai is not an accident. Hmm. She compares the appearance of God, the Shekhinah, the Gilui Shekhinah of God in this war, she compares it to Maamar HaSinai. Wow. One of the few references to Maamar HaSinai in Nach. What is the significance of the phrase, the mountains flowed? Harim Nazlu. How does a mountain flow?
Earthquakes
and volcanoes can cause mountains to flow. But she's not describing an earthquake here. How does a mountain flow?
Oh, mudslide.
Mudslides. Right? Mudslides. Mountains can flow when there is
lots of rain.
If we had mountains, I'd show you what mountains flowing look like today.
Yeah.
When it rains, heavy rains, if you look at the side of a mountain as it's raining heavily, what does it look like? As the water comes trickling down the mountain, it looks like the mountain is flowing. Rivers flow. Right? When harim nozlim, when mountains flow, it's because there is rain. How many references to water are in these two psukim?
Avim natfu.
Shamayim natafu. Avim natfu mayim. Harim nozlu mipnei Hashem. Right? Take a look now in Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
What time of year is this supposed to be?
Oh, do you remember when I said at the beginning of when we first started? What time of year is this? I can only make an assumption. It was dry. Why was it dry? How do I know it was dry?
Because they were in the valley.
The chariots.
Because chariots won't go into a valley if it's not dry.
Right, so it's got to be summer.
Yeah.
Correct? Rain. When was the last time it rained in Emek Yisrael in the middle of the summer?
This war.
Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Nachal Kishon Grafam. Nachal Kishon Grafam. Grafam means swept them away. Nachal Ktumim Nachal Kishon, an ancient brook, this Nachal Kishon, Tidrachi Nafshios. What is she describing here? Of a Nachal sweeping them away.
It's a flash flood.
A flash flood. It's exactly what she's describing.
Wow.
In other words, suddenly in the middle of July, the skies opened up. Mountains flowing with water. Now, your sister and his chariot sitting in the bottom of the valley. And your chariots need wheels to run, and horses to move. And suddenly, the last thing you expect, which is
rain,
and the entire Nachal turns into one giant mudslide. You were there in what time of year?
Winter.
In the winter. Did you go into the valley?
Yeah, we came from the valley. We drove up the hill.
Was it dry or was it wet?
You know, things were growing. There wasn't water in it.
There wasn't water in it.
I don't remember seeing water.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nachal Kishon is known for flash floods.
Yeah. It's known for the horrible pollution there.
It wasn't polluted in the days of Devorah. Right, it's known for flash floods. Flash floods can come anytime in the rain season because the rain goes underground. Mm-hmm. Here, suddenly the skies opened up. Now, if you are Barak, and you have 10,000 soldiers, and you're sitting on the top of the mountain. And it starts to rain. And you're in the middle of the I'm not even sure why I have this image that it's the middle of the night. But certainly you're sitting on the top of the mountain and it starts to rain. What do you do?
You're not going to go down the valley and get swept away.
You're not going to get down the valley. Mountains are sliding. You're not going to go down the valley.
Observe.
So you're going to. Right, so Barak is sitting on the top of the mountain, and he's looking out, and he's seeing rain.
Yeah.
And Devorah says, Barak, kum, Barak, get up. Why? Because what you see rain, I see malachim. I see Hashem yitzalafanecha. I see Hashem b'tzeitcha misair b'tzeitcha misdei adam eretz v'asher gam shemayim natafu. I see gilui shchina. I see thunder and lightning. Thunder and lightning is reminiscent of Maamar HaSinai. Zeh Sinai lifnei b'nei Yisrael. This is exactly what she sees. She knows the imagery. She's seen it before. She sees gilui shchina. She sees the skies opening up. She sees the shchina coming down to the battlefield. She sees a malach on every raindrop. Because that's what her role is. Barak is sitting there seeing rain. And Devorah says, See the staff you asked me to bring? That's what it brought. It brought you rain. It brought you clouds in the middle of July. It brought you a nachal that will sweep them away. Kum, Barak, get up and go. Hashem, it's alafanach. That's only part of the picture.
How would he have won? I mean, he would have just won
believe,
a natural way.
I think he would have won the way David HaMelech won all his battles.
10,000 men against all those people?
Gideon went with 300 against a large an army five times the size. Gideon went with an army five times the size. Yohanatan and his serv and his lad against the entire Philistine army. The two of them. Completely. By themselves. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo is with you, that's the whole point. If you have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the numbers don't mean anything. But you have to have a level of emunah to be able to go into battle with two people or with 300 people.
But that in itself is miraculous.
But right? There's a difference, I've said it before, there's a difference on the contrary. That's miraculous that the people are singing the glory to the Melech and the Melech is singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the miracle of natural miracles that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. Mm-hmm. It's the supernatural miracles, it's the Kriyat Yamsuf and the Mata of Moshe and the stop of the mountain that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. You have to distinguish between one kind of miracle and another. It's a huge difference.
So the fact that
we can look at the Six-Day War and say that was miraculous, but if there was skies opening up and the Shekhinah coming down, it would be very different.
So the fact that Barak asked her to be there, does that mean that he recognized that they're regressing?
I don't know. That's too... She certainly sees it as a problem. One more piece, and take a look. Just that's only... It's part of the picture. Certainly the rain. But the rain did something else also. And take a look at Pasuk Chaf. We looked at Chaf Aleph. Look at Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet. The rain stops the wheels of the chariots, because if it starts to rain, what happens to the wheels? They get stuck in the mud. But that's only half the picture. You still have to deal with the other half of the picture, which is
the horses.
The pasuk in Perek Dalet, the term used in Perek Dalet was vayahom et Often vayahom et machane vayahom Hashem et Sisra. Hashem confounded Sisra, his horses and chariots. Et kol arecha et kol machane. The term vayahom also has a reminiscent ring to it. Vayahom et machane Mitzrayim is the term that the Torah uses for the army of the camp of Egypt in the bed of the sea. Correct. What happened here? Pasukhaf. Min shamayim nilchamu. This war was engaged from heaven. Hakochavim mimesilotam nilchamu im Sisra. The stars in their routes fought with Sisra. Nachal Kishon grafam, nachal ktumim, nachal Kishon titrichin nafshi oz, ancient brook, nachal Kishon swept them away. As halmu ikvesus, then they, as halmu ikvesus, they, disembarked or dis, what is, how does it translate to halmu?
Hounded the heels of the horses.
Hounded?
Pounded.
Pounded the heels of the horses. Midaharot daharot abirav, from the galloping of the sound that the horses' hoofs make. Daharot, 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 daharot. There's a word for that in English. No, what's the word when the word sounds like? Thank you. I can never pronounce it. Daharot darot abirav, from the daharot of the feet, the hoofs of the horses. What does min hashamayim nilchamu, kochavim mimesilotam nilchamu? How do stars fight a war? That's why I knew it was at night. I knew there was an imagery at night. This whole thing is taking place at night. So not only is it's raining in the middle of the night. Now, in the middle of the night, what do you do with your soldiers when it's raining in the middle of the night? Usually you go to sleep, right? No, she says, you go, right now. Why? Because in addition to the malach on every raindrop, she saw another group of malachim. Riding the stars. And you know what happens when the shooting stars go through the sky? Not much to you and to me, but what happens when you're a horse and suddenly there are streaks of light in the sky?
Confuses them.
Right? Now, whether the streaks of light are stars, which are hard to see through the clouds of the rain, or the rain came, stopped, washed up the water, now the Nachal has got flash floods in it, now the skies break and the stars come out, or the stars are a reference to lightning, I don't know. What I do know is that whatever those shooting stars did,
they confused
the horses. It scared the horses. So now here's the scenario. You're riding a chariot. Your horses are frightened. What do horses do when they're frightened?
They do that.
Darot, darot, abirav. They start to gallop. Correct?
Mm.
Now, what happens to the chariot?
It's
supposed to go with the horse.
Yeah.
But the chariot is stuck because the mud has caught the wheels. So your horses are frightened into running. Your chariot is stuck in the mud. Result?
Somebody's going to break.
Nothing.
The result is chaos.
Chaos.
The result is the horses are running everywhere, the chariots are stuck, the riders are getting thrown everywhere, and it doesn't take much. Barak has not raised a sword. And the entire army of 900 chariots is in complete confusion. Vayahom Hashem et Machanas Yisrael. And Barak, and Dvorah turns to Barak and says, okay, Barak, the rest is yours. I've done my job, the rest is yours.
It was very unusual in those days, I think.